16 minutes away from 8 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. I'm Bill Small. 77 degrees right now, and there's a four-letter word in the forecast, rain. For once, it's not heat, which leads me to think of other four-letter words. Our friends from K-State Research and Extension are with us. We've got Francis Graves. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning.
And we've got James Coover. And why don't we start with you, James? We're going to talk about corn stuff, but you got some announcements you want to make first of all.
Yes, and so we have two programs coming up. Well, we got a lot of programs, but I have two programs
you
coming
have
up.
Two.
Yes.
Okay.
So the first one will actually be on August the 11th, and we're going to talk about soil health. And so this is about soil regeneration, it's about cover crops, it's about using all of that stuff and actually creating the practice of soil regeneration. And so we've got some awesome speakers coming to this. We've got somebody coming all the way from, like, Iowa.
Honestly. What part of Iowa?
A big name. West Union.
Okay,
Iowa?
Yeah, I know where that is. Yeah. So I'm an Iowa boy.
Okay.
I'm from Clinton, Iowa. So.
And so, you know, he'll be coming in, and we're going to talk about equipment quite a bit, too, because the equipment's a little bit different for all of this stuff. And so, I mean, this is an event that crop farmers that are even somewhat interested in regeneration do not want to miss, because we got some big names coming in for this. It'll be on August the 11th. We're going to start the field tours first from 9 to 11, and then the program and the lunch will be from 11 to 2, and this will be around in the Greenbush area. And so just give me a call if you're interested in this. Last time we did this, this is the second part to a spring one, and we had very good attendance to this.
Excellent.
People from all over the state.
Can I hang on to that flyer there?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
We also had the Makers Fair, which I've talked about many times. Francis might talk about it a little bit, too. And so the Makers Fair and Extension Expo, it'll be on Saturday, September the 17th. And this is going to be a festival.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this is. It's going to be a festival that looks at all the things and the crafting that people do in the Southeast Kansas, and also Extension, everything that we do, and kind of have a little bit of fun with all the little pieces of Extension, and have a lot of programs and demonstrations throughout the day. We're going to do a lot of touring and looking at 4-H showcasing, maybe even a petting zoo. We'll have some food trucks out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So this is really just a festival of activity is
mm-hmm.
what it will be. And so, and of course, if you're a vendor, basically you're a crafter and you like to sell your little crafts,
mm-hmm.
Please give us a call, let us know, and we would love to put you on the list. This will be on Saturday, September 17th, from 9 to 4 at the Parsons Research Center.
Now, Francis, you said you had some upcoming events, too. You want to lay those on us now in the upcoming events portion of the show?
Sure thing. So I know you've had Holly in here.
Yeah.
And she's our food preservation gal. She's got three more workshops coming up, and these are free due to a food waste grant, and they've been super popular. We've pretty much maxed out capacity so
mm-hmm.
far. The Fredonia event is at the Old Iron Days campus on August the 2nd, and Altamont shall be at the community building on August the 9th, and in Girard, at our office on August the 11th. And they can make a reservation. Anyone can call our office in Montgomery County at 620-331-2690. And Holly's also doing a ServSafe training, which is a training for folks who need to know how to provide food through concession stands, restaurants, that sort of thing, on July 28th in Altamont from noon to 4.
Okay. James, you wanted to talk about one of my favorite topics, being an Iowa lad, where
true.
The corn is as high and as an elephant's eye.
Uh-huh.
What do you got to share with us this morning?
Yeah, so here in Southeast Kansas, our corn isn't always as good as it is in Iowa.
Nobody's corn is as good as it is in Iowa.
You better, yeah. Nebraska, sometimes they might disagree with you.
We moved to North Dakota when I was 15. And somebody was showing some corn to my dad, who was also a native-born Iowan, and dad just scoffed at it.
Yeah,
he said,
yeah.
We grow wheat bigger than that down in Iowa.
Well, yeah, no. We don't have the soil there. Yeah. But anyway, here in Southeast Kansas, our corn isn't looking near as good.
Mm-hmm. Especially this year, I would suppose.
This year, mm-hmm. it's been real bad. I mean, it's remnants of 2018, when we just had basically crop failure.
Right.
And we're getting pretty close to that this year, too.
Will the upcoming rain help any? Or is it too late?
It's too late for a lot of it.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it's already formed what we call black layer,
right.
which is physiological maturity. The plant has turned off aspects to that corn
mm-hmm.
kernel.
Yeah.
Some of the late planted corn, it won't really help the yield, but it'll protect that yield. And so it'll keep it from aborting any more of those kernels.
Yeah. I have some experience in growing corn myself. I may have told you this before. My wife and I weren't married yet. We were living in Burlington, Iowa, and we're living in the city, and we had a brick patio in front of our front door with spaces in it, and somehow a kernel got in there and grew a stalk. It was almost as tall as I am, but it hadn't been pollinated, so it was just a single sad little cob came out. We felt so sad for it, but we kept it around. We referred to it as our crop.
You can't really pollinate one corn. You have to have more than one corn
to
pollinate.
Exactly. It's like everything else in the world, you know?
So when it comes to the dry weather, I mean, we're talking about dismal yields, especially right around here at Coffeyville, maybe up into the McCune area. There's kind of a horseshoe in Cherokee as well, where it's rained. It hasn't really rained since the 8th of June.
Right.
And so,
I didn't know it was that long.
It's been a long time, and there have been little rains, but not amounted to anything.
So a sprinkle here and there, but no soaking.
They're looking at bushels between 20 to 40 bushels to the acre, and that's nothing.
That's dismal.
I mean, that's dismal for corn. And so a lot of them have been considering silage. It's kind of a hard aspect, to be honest, to flip that switch and think we're going to silage this instead.
Right.
For a lot of the corn is already a little bit too late, but they're thinking about baling it as well. And there's a lot of aspects that are difficult when it comes to that. So if you are thinking about silage, A, you need to find a custom cutter to actually come out and do this. Custom cutting is a little bit expensive, and putting it into the silage bags. That's going to cost $20, $25 for that process,
so
for
not only
inoculation
are you,
and travel.
Not only are you losing your crop, but you're going to have to pay extra to get anything at all out of the silage.
I mean, you're going to have to pay for the combine anyway.
Yeah.
And so it's just a matter of which equipment. But a lot of these fields will probably have 6 to 7 tons to the acre in silage. In this drought year, that's not uncommon. A little bit of that will be corn for the most part. That will be other stuff. Takes off a lot of nutrients off that field too. So farmers are thinking about probably $40 to $50 in nutrient loss just in the silaging operation too. Basically, when you work out the numbers, it ends up, I mean, you have to compare your silage versus what you will have lost in hay. So if you need hay this winter, you have nothing to feed your cows, I mean, with all the drought and all that, silage becomes more worth it. But without that, it's a really hard break-even point between what if a farmer should silage it or whether they should actually just go ahead and harvest for grain, even though the yields aren't very good.
Right.
However, there are a number of people around that are actually silaging their corn or baling it or doing something with it. So if you're going to do that, of course, you got to be careful. Moisture percentage is very important when we come to talk about silage. It needs to be between 55 to 65%. You don't want to let it dry down too much. Because if it does, it'll actually, if it's below 40, it won't ferment. It's above it, it'll actually create the wrong kind of acid. It's the wrong kind of bacteria will take over.
Right.
And it's an environment for Clostridia. And so, no oxygen is very important. Any oxygen will get in there. You actually risk a whole different kind of bacteria and actually could be deadly.
Yeah.
And so you got to get the pH right in the end is the most important part. And so the advantages of silaging this stuff, A, it actually helps with the nitrates,
right,
which is a huge risk during drought risk corn. Most of those nitrates will be in the top, will be in the bottom third of the stalk.
Right.
And that could be like 5,000 parts per million. But then the rest of the stalk could be less than 1,000 parts per million. It's very concentrated in the stalk. And so if you run your cows on it, for the most part, they're going to be eating the leaves.
Right.
But if you're going to be silaging it, you got to be careful with that stalk. And so, however, silaging it does take the nitrates down 50%. So there is some advantages to it, but farmers, please get it tested for
get
nitrates.
Get it tested, yeah.
Yes. 5,000 parts per million, that could kill a cow.
Right.
I mean, even if you're supplementing, that's way too high.
Yeah.
So
I just think about the whole career, the profession of farming, and what a roll of the dice it is every year.
Yes.
And this year it seems like we just came up snake eyes.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And, I mean, it's been a long time since it's rained, and it's hard to do anything without that.
Yeah.
I will say, though, the rain that's coming up, It should really help the soybeans out a lot.
Hopefully it doesn't come down too hard, too fast, too quick. And the good soaking rain, give it a chance to get into the ground and not just run off.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like 4 or 5 days of rain. So hopefully we'll get a good amount and it'll be spaced out. But, you know, and so, like I was saying before, it won't really help the corn out too much, honestly. A little bit for the late planted stuff. But the ones that are silaging this stuff, they kind of need to get done pretty soon.
Right.
So for the most part, I think the silagers are almost done because once it rains, they're not going to have enough time frame for the ground to dry out again.
So if you haven't decided to silage, now is really, you better move quickly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. If you had the late planted corn, I mean, you planted it real late, like almost early May, you probably still have some time.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot of time.
Not a lot of time,
find somebody to do it now for them to come out later.
They may well be tied up.
Yes, exactly. I was talking to somebody yesterday. The silage cutters, they've been working hard for the last 2 weeks, mm-hmm. Honestly. But they might have a little more time because there's a lot less late planted corn. And so afterwards, a farmer that does have it, maybe you can find somebody just because they're already done doing the other corn. But when you do that, I mean, you also need to find somebody that will, there's two types of ways of silaging this stuff. You can either put it into a pit. For the most part, you need to have already have made that pit. You need to have the equipment to do that,
mm-hmm.
or you can blow it into a bag, which is a lot easier for farmers that aren't normally using this stuff. Basically, they bale it and they turn it into a balage. You know those giant worms that you kind of see, the white worms? Mm-hmm. That's what it is. They're actually bales inside of those those things if they don't chop it up and blow it in there. So, you know, that really is the right way to use this corn. I will say that letting it drying down a little bit and trying to make it into hay like you would with sedan, I've heard anecdotally that's very difficult. It is very hard to run that stuff through your baler. I've heard many farmers regret ever trying. So it's just too stocky and stemmy, and the balers don't deal with it very well. It gets caught up in everything, and you'll fight with it the entire time.
So basically, what we're talking about, it's a bad situation.
Yes.
Here's how you can make the best of it.
Yes. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Right. Where do folks go for more information on that?
Obviously, there's all kinds of information we have. And agmanager.com, we actually have some break-even analysis, some financial looking at whether you should harvest corn or make silage. And, of course, you know, at the Extension website, you can find all that. Or just call me at the Girard Extension office, 620-724-8233.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll have news coming up. And then after we're done with the news, I'll touch base with you one more time, James, to see if there's anything we didn't get to. And then we'll turn our attention to the lovely Frances Graves, talking about county fair season and more about the Makers Fair and Extension Expo. Easy for me to say. Coming up here in the Mighty 690 KGGF. Thirteen minutes after 8 o'clock, Wednesday morning on the Mighty 690 KGGF. It's a small world. I'm Bill Small, and we're joined in the studio by our friends from K-State Research and Extension, James Coover and Frances Graves. And before we talk to you, Frances, James, was there anything else we didn't quite get to in the time we had talking about the ravages of the corn crop this year?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about a lot of it. I mean, farmers were kind of already need to make their decision. I will say, though, if you're going to make that decision, first you need to know the yield, what the expectation is. If you're going to do that, there's a method to that madness of approximating yield. Don't just walk in the first part of the field where you've run over it many, many times, because that's going to be the worst part of the field.
Right.
Make sure your yield approximation is at least three different parts of the field, the good, the medium, the bad, really know what the field is going to be yielding. Look at the whole field. And so besides that, I mean, you know, they kind of already know what they can do the math and the approximation.
Is it better to overestimate or underestimate?
It's in this equation, it's probably better to underestimate. But, I mean, even still, you know, they a lot of insurance adjusters have a pretty good idea of what the yields are going to be, which isn't great. But also, don't forget the two programs. Well, I mean, and the other programs.
Before you get to that, is it a good idea for the producer to talk to his insurance provider?
Oh, absolutely.
And just say, hey, I'm thinking about abandoning the crop this year, terminating the crop this year.
Yeah.
Am I covered?
Every farmer has to talk to their insurance adjuster one way or the other. I mean, it's an absolute requirement. You cannot make a decision until you do that first.
Right.
Because they have to come out and approximate what the yield will be or look at it later, I mean, after harvest, because that's how the insurance is decided. It's the difference between what the yield is to what their farm average is.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's an absolute, of course.
I think about that commercial. I think it's for like a homeowner's insurance or something where mayhem is destroying the house.
Uh-huh.
I see mayhem running through the cornfield, just basically chopping everything down.
Yeah.
Talk to your insurance adjusters and make sure they know what you're doing, and obviously make sure you know what you're doing.
Yes, yeah. You know, at a certain point, I mean, all this reporting the FSA too, I mean, they will be part of this. And so there's they know the people that you've got to talk to your people.
I used to work for FSA
in
D.C. I was a writer-editor in the public affairs office there in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Makes me sound important, doesn't it?
A lot of confusing. You must know
Very much.
A lot better.
The organization, and I know that it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Francis Graves, you're here to talk about a couple different things and state the obvious first of all. It is county fair season.
Yes, it's county fairs. We are in full swing. We just finished up with Wilson and Labette County Fairs, so congratulations to those communities. That was great. It was hot, but well attended. People are coming back out to the fair. And today, the Montgomery County 4-H Fair kicks off in Independence.
Yeah, we're going to be doing live broadcasts from there on Saturday here on the Mighty 690.
So, wonderful. Yeah. So Friday is the big day for some of our kids. And I just kind of wanted to talk about how fair. I'm the community vitality agent, and it's a definite showcase for our kids and what they've done for the whole year. But it's also a showcase of our communities.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to remember that it's totally open to the public. You don't have to have someone that you know who's presenting. Just anyone can come into the fair. Independence starts today. The Crawford County Fair starts August 3rd and runs through the weekend. And then, as the news stated, the Interstate Fair and Rodeo is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big public event more people are familiar with, but there are also 4-H exhibits there.
Okay. And what is your favorite part of the whole county fair scenario?
So I really like the sense that everyone's coming together. I like there are people all over town who are taking off work for the fair,
right.
Whether their workplace is sponsoring an event, bringing out donuts, you know, cooking breakfast or dinner for the crowds, or just helping out with a relative of some sort or just a friend. The families are showing up, cleaning up the fairgrounds, showcasing the whole place as this nice place to go and putting on activities that everyone can attend.
And county fair food is the best. I mean, I look at you, you're fit, you're trim. You look at me, and I'm the guy who's going for the deep fried Twinkies, you know. So to me, that's the best part of the whole fair scenario. The whole scene is just eating the stuff that you probably never touch the rest of the year.
That's part of the culture for sure. And these
are
small businesses. These are food trucks that are showing up, or there are concession stands run by 4-H kids or fair boards. My kids, we took them to the fair, and they had corn dogs for dinner every night.
Not hungry, Mom.
Yeah.
Francis gave us corn dogs.
Corn dogs and snow cones.
all part of this balanced, nutritious diet. Okay, and you were also going to talk about the Makers Fair and the Extension Expo coming up?
That's correct. Yeah, so this is James's idea. He's had that idea for
a
while.
Brilliant guy over here.
Yeah.
James Coover.
We're pretty excited, though. This is another thing that we just want to showcase Extension. We want to talk about every little element we do. So we'll have presentations throughout the day from our agents on things like health and fitness and crops and, you know, showcase the research that's being done that can help our ag producers. Our 4-H kids are going to be demonstrating having a petting zoo, some of the projects they do, like you might see at the fair. Rockets, woodworking, electricity, hands-on type of things for kids. And then the big element that we want to get the word out is we want to showcase our entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
So these people all across our area who are creating things and selling them either as a main business or a side gig, that's inspiring and exciting and it's important for our community. So anyone who creates something and sells it and would like to attend, there's not a vendor fee. We're just hoping to kick this event off the ground. They can reach us at our Girard office, 620-724-8233, or email. I'm Francis Graves at ksu.edu, Francis with an E, and James is J Coover, COOVER at KSU.
James with a J.
Correct, yeah. Yep.
Okay, and anything else you wanted to touch on while we're here?
I do. Just going back to the element of fair, I want to say that we've got Jesse, who you guys are familiar with, and he is passionate about edible landscaping and foraging.
Oh, we went on and on about it last week. Yeah.
He's got presentations at each of our fairs. So this Friday, he'll be in Independence at 3 o'clock doing a program on edible landscaping, and then he'll be in Girard for the Crawford County Fair next Wednesday, August 3rd.
I like that about Jesse. You can just sit him down in front of a microphone and let him run wild with it. And he knows everything about the topics that he's interested in.
So. Yep, his passion is contagious too. Yeah. It makes you want to go home and start foraging.
Mm-hmm. Through the refrigerator for me. All right, Francis Graves and James Coover. How do folks get in touch with you to get more information, Francis?
So our Wildcat District website or Facebook pages are great sources of information. We're wildcatdistrict.ksu.edu, or you can call us at 620-724-8233.
Okay. Anything else you want to add, James, before we wrap it up?
Nope. We just got a lot of fun stuff coming up. I mean, we got the fairs, and then after that, we have even more programs coming up. Well, so we're always busy.
Weep for the corn, but then go out and enjoy yourself at a county fair.
Exactly.
It all balances out.
Forget the corn for a little bit. Have some fun at the fair.
It's ag life in Southeast Kansas.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gents, so much for being with us here this morning on the Mighty 690 KGGF.